Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. On Tuesday, Vermont Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders spoke in San Diego to a crowd of over 13,000 people. The crowd came from all across Southern California, some lining up as early as 5 a.m. to hear the senator who has now won elections in a dozen states. The crowd included students, senior citizens, veterans, Black, Hispanic, and Native American Sanders supporters. Prominent East County leaders from the Chaldean and Latino communities were present, along with many others who came to feel the burn. We'll be playing Senator Sanders' complete speech for you today, but first, here are the results of this week's Western Tuesday elections. Both Democrats and Republicans held primaries or caucuses in Utah and Arizona, while Democrats also held a caucus in Idaho. On the Republican side, business mogul and reality TV celebrity Donald Trump won the Arizona caucus with 47% of the vote, while Texas Senator Ted Cruz dominated in Utah with over 69%. Both are winner-take-all states for Republicans, leaving Ohio Governor John Kasich shut out of Tuesday's matches. Trump moves closer to securing the Republican nomination, although Cruz has a strong shot at blocking Trump on the first ballot if neither has a majority of votes. If that happens, delegates could shift to either of the two frontrunners, to a compromise candidate such as Kasich, or to an alternative not even currently in the race, such as former presidential Republican nominee Mitt Romney or House Speaker Paul Ryan. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders gained momentum, trouncing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to win 78% of the delegates in Utah and 74% in Idaho. Clinton won Arizona with 59% of the vote. But since Democratic primaries are proportional, not winner-take-all, Sanders also picked up substantial delegates in Arizona. Sanders' strong showings in conservative Utah and Idaho, where independent voters were allowed to vote in the Democratic primary and caucus, bodes very well for his chances of pulling in key independent voters in a general election against the Republican nominee. But Sanders has a lot of ground to make up. Clinton has amassed 1,214 delegates allotted by voters and another 469 superdelegates, although in theory superdelegates could shift their allegiances if Sanders were to win more delegates over the popular vote. Sanders currently has about 900 delegates, so about 300 less than Clinton, but just 26 superdelegates. Next up, Western states such as liberal bastions in Oregon and Washington will be heading to the polls, along with some northern states with large progressive urban populations, which could bode well for Sanders since Clinton's big wins were predominantly in the South. There are another 2,159 delegates left to be determined in the remaining Democratic primaries and caucuses. California, with 548 delegates, is by far the richest prize. Speaking in San Diego Tuesday night at a rally titled A Future to Believe In, Senator Sanders told the large and enthusiastic crowd, "If you turn out, we win." East County Magazine was at that rally with KNSJ Radio. Now here is the complete, uncensored audio of his speech in San Diego. Originally aired live on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you. Thank you! Thank you, San Diego! Yo. Let me thank all of you for, thank you for coming out tonight. And let me thank Rosario Dawson for that extraordinary introduction. It's a little bit hard to follow Rosaria because she said everything I was going to say. The only thing she didn't say, I think, is not only do we have 9,000 people in this room, we got many thousands more in the overflow room. When we began this campaign about 10 months ago, we were 3% in the polls, about 70 points behind Secretary Clinton. As of today, last poll that I saw, we are 5 points behind, and we're gaining. When we began this campaign against the most powerful political organization in the country, we had no money and no volunteers. Now we have hundreds of thousands of volunteers all over this country. When we began this campaign, we were considered a fringe candidacy. Now, who in America, the media said, could believe in a political revolution? Well, 10 months later, we have now won 10 primaries and caucuses. And unless I'm very mistaken, we're going to win a couple of more tonight. When we began this campaign, we talked about the need for millions of people to become involved in the political process. Tonight in Utah, tonight in Idaho, and tonight in Arizona, there are record-breaking turnouts in terms of voting. Now, this campaign is doing as well as it is generating the kind of energy and excitement we're seeing here in San Diego and all over this country. Because we are doing something very unusual in modern American politics, we are telling the truth. Now, the truth is not always pleasant, not in our personal lives, not in our political lives, but we cannot go forward as a nation unless we are prepared to confront the real issues facing our country. And let me tell you briefly what some of those issues are. Number one, in America today, we are living under a corrupt campaign finance system, which is undermining American democracy. Democracy is not a complicated process. It really isn't. It means that you have one vote, you have one vote, you have one vote. You want to vote for me? You want to vote against me? That's fine. But what democracy does not mean is that billionaires can spend unlimited sums of money to elect candidates who represent the wealthy and the powerful. That is not democracy. Democracy is not about cowardly Republican governors trying to suppress the vote. And all over this country, what we are seeing is Republican governors making it harder for poor people, for people of color, for young people, for old people to vote. And I say to those cowardly governors, if you are not prepared to engage in a free and democratic election, get another job. Get out of politics. Today, the United States has, sadly, one of the lowest voter turnouts of any major country on earth. Our job is to increase voter turnout, not lower voter turnout, to make it easier for people to participate, not harder. But as Rosario mentioned, this campaign is not just about a corrupt campaign finance system which is undermining democracy. It is about a rigged economy. It is about an economy in which the top 0.1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. It is about an economy where the 20 wealthiest people own more wealth than the bottom 150 million people. It is about an economy in which one family, the Walton family, owning Walmart. This one family owns more wealth than the bottom 40% of the American people. And what a rigged economy is about is the wealthiest family in this country paying their employees wages that are so low that many of those workers have to go on Medicaid and food stamps. And it is the middle class that pays more in taxes to pay for that Medicaid and food stamps. So I say to the Walton family, get off of welfare, pay your workers a living wage. That is just one example of many of a rigged economy. Working people paying more in taxes to subsidize the wealthiest family in this country. That is crazy. Together, we're going to end that. This campaign is about ending a situation in which millions of our people are working longer hours for lower wages. It's about ending a situation where people in America need to work two or three jobs just to bring in enough income and health care to take care of their families. It's about an economy where mom is working, dad is working, kids are working, marriages are stressed out, kids do not get the attention they need. This campaign is about creating an economy that works for all of us, not just the 1%. But it is not just a corrupt campaign finance system that we are going to change. It is not just a rigged economy that we are going to reform. It is also a broken criminal justice system. It is not acceptable to me that we have more people in jail than any other country on earth. Not acceptable that we are spending $80 billion a year, $80 billion, to lock up 2.2 million Americans, disproportionately African American, Latino, Native American. This campaign is about real criminal justice reform, real police department reform. This campaign is about saying we are tired of seeing unarmed people, often minorities, shot by police. I have been a mayor, and I have worked with police departments all over my state and police departments all over the country. And the truth is, vast majority of police officers are honest and hardworking. But when a police officer, like any other public official, breaks the law, that officer must be held accountable. This campaign is about ending the militarization of local police departments. It is about making police departments reflect the diversity of the communities they serve. It is about rethinking the war on drugs. Today, marijuana is a Schedule I drug under the federal Control Substance Act, right alongside of heroin. In my view, that is nuts, and that's why we have introduced legislation to take marijuana out of the federal control system. My state of Vermont, neighboring New Hampshire, and states all over this country, we are seeing now an epidemic of heroin use and opiate abuse. In my view, and we are seeing people dying every day from heroin overdose. In my view, when we deal with drug abuse, we have got to deal with it as a health issue, not a criminal issue. Let me just take this opportunity to say what I know is on everybody's mind. We're all aware of the terrible attacks that have taken place in Brussels. Dozens of people are dead and hundreds of people have been wounded, and I think I speak for everyone in expressing our condolences to the people of Brussels. Let me simply say this. We will stand as a nation with our allies and our friends and people all over this world. We will stand with them, and we will together crush and destroy ISIS. We will destroy ISIS through a coalition in the Middle East led by the Muslim nations themselves. With our support and the support of other powerful nations. But as King Abdullah of Jordan said a few months ago, what is going on there is a fight for the soul of Islam and the Muslim nations have got to take on ISIS and win that war. And we can win that war and destroy ISIS without getting the brave men and women in the U.S. armed forces into a perpetual war in the Middle East. The war in Iraq was one of the worst foreign policy mistakes in the modern history of this country. I voted against that war. And I will do everything that I can to make certain that the United States does not get involved in a similar type war in the future. This campaign is doing as well as it is because we are listening to the people, not wealthy campaign contributors. And one of the major differences between Secretary Clinton and myself is how we raise the funds we need to run a campaign. When we began this campaign, we asked ourselves, should we have a super PAC like everybody else? And we agreed with you. And the way what we did, unlike all other campaigns, is to simply reach out to the American people at BernieSanders.com and say, if you want to support a candidate who is prepared to take on the billionaire class, to take on Wall Street and corporate America, this is your campaign. Join us.
This is KNSJ Descanso, 89.1 FM, serving San Diego.
And what happened over the last 10 months is something that I, in a million years, would not have believed. And that is, we received well over 5 million individual campaign contributions. And does anybody know the average contribution? And that is revolutionary. Because what we showed is that you could run a winning national campaign without begging billionaires for their money. Now, Secretary Clinton has chosen to go a different route. What she has done is established a number of super PACs, her largest one recently reported, raising $25 million from special interest organizations, including $15 million from Wall Street. Now, she has also, as many of you may know, given speeches on Wall Street for $225,000 a speech. Now, what I have said What I've said is that if you're going to get paid $225,000 a speech, it must be an extraordinarily brilliant speech. It must be a speech that could transform our world. It must be a speech written in Shakespearean prose. So I think, given what a great speech it must have been, let's release that speech to the American people. This campaign is listening to working people throughout this country. And what they are telling me is they can't make it on $8 or $9 or $10 an hour. And that we have got to raise the minimum wage in this country to $15 an hour. This campaign is listening to disabled veterans and to senior citizens. And what disabled vets and seniors are telling me, they cannot make it on $11,000 or $12,000 a year Social Security. And you know what? Nobody can make it on $12,000 a year Social Security. Now, despite that, we've got Republicans in Congress wanting to cut Social Security benefits. Well, I've got bad news for them. We're not going to cut benefits. We're going to increase Social Security benefits. This campaign is listening to women. And what women all over this country are saying is they are sick and tired of working for 79 cents on the dollar compared to them. And I know that every man in this huge room will stand, huge room, will stand with the women in the fight for pay equity. And by the way, when we talk about women's rights, I want everybody here to know that all over this country, you got Republicans running around talking about family values. And let us be very clear what these Republicans mean. What they mean is that no woman here tonight or in this state or in this country should have the right to control her own body. I disagree. What they also mean is that our gay brothers and sisters should not have the right to be married. I disagree. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the Latino community. There are today some 11 million undocumented people in this country, and many of them are living in the shadows, living in fear, and they are being exploited every day because they have no legal rights. Now, I am the proud son of an immigrant, and I know something about immigrant life. And what I know is that we will stand with our Latino brothers and sisters. We will. We will fight for comprehensive immigration reform. And a path toward citizenship. Our immigration policy is what all immigration policy should be. We unite families, not divide families. And we will stop the deportations currently taking place. And if the Congress does not do its job, I will use the executive powers of the presidency to do all that I can. Now, in a democracy, there are people who have different points of view on immigration reform and everything else. But what is not acceptable is for the Donald Trumps and others to insult our Mexican and Latino brothers and sisters. In the year 2016, candidates for president should not be resorting to hatred and bigotry. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the African American community. And they are asking, how does it happen if this country could spend trillions of dollars fighting a war in Iraq we never should have gotten into? How does it happen that we do not have the funds to rebuild crumbling communities like Flint, Michigan? How does it happen that there are minority communities all over this country where unemployment is sky high? Where the education system is failing the kids, where healthcare is not acceptable, and where too many of our young men and women, instead of getting great jobs, are ending up in jail. Together, we are going to change the national priorities of this country. Together, we are going to invest in our communities. Together, we are going to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure and create millions of jobs. Flint, Michigan is not the only city in America with serious water problems. All over this country, cities and towns have water problems all over this country. Roads and bridges are failing. Our rail system way behind other countries. Our airports, our levees, and dams need to be repaired. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the Native American community. Everybody here knows that the way this country, going back even before we were a country, the way that the Native American people have been treated from day one is a national disgrace. Native Americans have been lied to, they have been cheated, treaties negotiated have been broken, and today all over this country we're finding many Native American communities in deep economic despair. If elected president, we will begin treating our Native American people with the respect that they deserve. This campaign is listening to young people. And what young people are saying is, how does it happen when everybody told us we needed to get an education, when they told us that we needed the best educated workforce in the world, why are we leaving school $20,000, $50,000 in debt? In my view, in the year 2016, when we talk about public education, it is not good enough just to talk about the first grade through the 12th grade. The world has changed, the economy has changed, our public school systems have to change, and that means making public colleges and universities tuition free. This is not a radical idea. I want every kid in this country who studies hard, does well in school, to be able to go to college regardless of his or her income. I am a member of the U.S. Senate Committee on the Environment. And I have talked to scientists all over the world. The debate is over. Climate change is real. It is caused by human activity. And together, we are going to break our dependence on fossil fuel and transform our energy system into sustainable energy and energy efficiency. Now, I have been criticized for saying this, so let me say it again. I believe that health care is a right for all people. I believe there is something wrong when every other major country on earth provides health care as a right and we do not. Today, the Affordable Care Act has done a lot of good, but we need to do more. Today, 29 million people have no health insurance, and even more are underinsured. Today, we are being ripped off big time by the drug companies who are charging us the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. Today, in America, one out of five people cannot even afford the prescriptions their doctors write. So I think we join the rest of the industrialized world. We pass a Medicare for all single payer program. Everybody here knows that change in America always takes place from the bottom on up, not from the top down. That is the history of the trade union movement, where workers came together to fight for dignity. That is the history of the civil rights movement, where African Americans and their allies stood together and said that racism, bigotry and discrimination will not continue in America. That is the history of the women's movement. Let us not forget, 100 years ago, women did not have the right to vote, the right to get an education. They did not have the right to do the jobs they wanted to do. But what happened is women stood up with their male allies. 5 million, and they said together that in this country, women will not be second-class citizens. And that is the history of the gay movement in this country. Where against incredible hatred and opposition, the gay community and their straight allies said that in this country, people will have the right to love whomever they want, regardless of gender. That is how change takes place. Change takes place in a very profound moment when people look around them and they say the status quo is not working, not good enough. And today, all over this country, people are looking around and they're saying grotesque levels of income and wealth inequality is unacceptable. They are saying that we should not be the only major country on earth that does not guarantee paid family and medical leave. They are saying that we should not have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major country on earth. They are saying that millions of our people should not have to be buried in student debt for decades. They are saying that we should not have more people in jail than any other country. They are saying that we should not get involved in wars that are killing our young people. This is a pivotal moment in American history. Either we continue down the path in which the politics and economics of this country is controlled by a handful of billionaires, or whether we make a political revolution. And what that revolution is about is people standing up from coast to coast saying enough is enough. That our government belongs to all of us, not just a handful of campaign contributors. In early June, California, the largest state in our nation, will have a major role to play in taking this country forward. If there is a large voter turnout, we will win here in California. On primary day here in California, please come out to vote. Bring your friends and your relatives. Let's do it. Thank you all very much.
And that was Senator Bernie Sanders on his presidential campaign stop in San Diego. We look forward to covering additional candidates in the future during their visits to our region.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Donald Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric is having some unintended consequences. Fear of Trump's winning the presidency is motivating unprecedented numbers of immigrants to become citizens so they can vote against Trump if he is the Republican Party's nominee in November. Nationwide, citizenship applications are up 14% in the last quarter of 2015 over the same period a year before. Here in San Diego County, some heavily Latino neighborhoods have seen an even bigger jump, including a 40% increase in those seeking naturalization in Chula Vista, according to KPBS report that is a collaboration with KPCC, KQED, and Capital Public Radio. KPBS interviewed some immigrants who have been eligible for citizenship for years, but said it was Trump's candidacy that compelled them to become citizens and register to vote. Trump has called for deporting all 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States and building a wall along the entire U.S.-Mexican border to keep new immigrants out. He has likened Mexican immigrants to rapists and wants to deny citizenship to children born in the U.S. to parents who came here illegally. While the Hispanic community is split on which candidate they would support, the vast majority have traditionally voted Democratic, and nearly all polls say that they want Trump to be a loser in the November election. So, ironically, Trump's bashing of immigrants could prove to be his undoing. inspiring a legion of newly sworn-in citizens to cast their votes for anybody but Trump. Given that the Republican Congress has also been adamant in its efforts to block President Barack Obama's immigration reforms, a wave of new Latino voters just could sweep some Republican lawmakers out of Congress, too, and elect more progressive voices in the House and Senate. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Welcome to East County Magazine Show's Jobs Talk, bringing you news about great jobs, job training opportunities, and growing our regional economy.
This is Mavi Barena with East County Magazine's Job Talk. Californians are set to vote in November on whether to raise our state's minimum wage to $15 an hour. The Fair Wage Act of 2016 has qualified for the ballot, the Secretary of State's office confirms. If approved by voters, the measure would raise the minimum wage gradually over the next 5 years, starting at $11 an hour in 2017, then raising by $1 a year until reaching $15 an hour in 2021. After that, the minimum wage would be adjusted automatically to keep up with the cost of living each year. California's minimum wage is currently $10 an hour, which adds up to $21,000 a year for a full-time worker. A field poll conducted last year found that 68% of registered voters in California said they would support the initiative. The measure is supported by labor unions and by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who says, quote, "Millions of hard-working Californians struggle every day to provide for themselves and their families because their wages have not kept up with the high cost of living in our state. California leads the country on so many issues like the environment, civil rights, and public health, so it's only appropriate that we also lead on addressing income inequality," end quote. Supporters also contend that raising the minimum wage will stimulate the economy since workers will have more money to spend on products and services. The Fair Wage Act initiative is opposed, however, by employer groups. Michael Saltzman, research director at the Employment Policies Institute, argues that major restaurants in San Francisco closed their doors after the city raised its minimum wage in 2015, citing the wage hike as a factor. He adds that in Imperial County, where the unemployment rate is 22%, even experienced workers are struggling to find work. Saltzman says, quote, $15 would be economic suicide for Imperial County, end quote.
The U.S. State Department has issued a travel warning to and throughout Europe in the wake of Tuesday's deadly bombings in Brussels, Belgium. The bombs at the airport and subway killed dozens and injured at least 230 people. The State Department issued a statement warning about potential risks of travel in Europe, noting, quote, "Terrorist groups continue to plan near-term attacks throughout Europe, targeting sporting events, tourist sites, restaurants, and transportation," unquote. American citizens are advised to exercise vigilance in public places or on mass transportation and to take particular caution during large events or religious events. Security at Lindbergh Field Airport in San Diego and at major airports and railway centers nationwide have been increased after the Brussels attacks, though Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson assured that there is no specific credible intelligence of any similar plot in America, but the potential for copycat attacks in the U.S. is a concern. ISIS, also known as ISIL or the Islamic State, has claimed credit for the bombings just months after similar deadly explosions rocked Paris. President Barack Obama pledged support for Belgium, a U.S. ally, to bring those responsible to justice. Speaking in Havana, the president said in a speech to the Cuban people, quote, "The world must unite. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world," unquote. Several Americans were injured in the Brussels blast, including an Air Force lieutenant colonel stationed in the Netherlands, along with his wife and children who were at the airport. Associated Press reports that three Mormon missionaries from Utah were also seriously injured in the airport explosion. The U.S. European Command has now banned American military and Defense Department employees from travel to Brussels without prior approval. Two of the bombers were brothers who apparently died during the explosion, CNN reports, but at least one escaped. A massive manhunt continues for a missing terror suspect who is believed to be of North African heritage and could be a citizen of Belgium or France. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Leon Thompson with the Green Scene Report. Insect infestations and drought have killed off thousands of oak trees in San Diego County and even more statewide. Now Assembly Bill 2162, the Oak Woodlands Protection Bill, has been introduced into the California legislature by Assemblyman Kenson Chu. The measure seeks to protect old-growth oak forests and prevent the massive conversion of oak woodlands to urban, suburban, and agricultural uses. It would create an Oak Woodlands Protection Fund. Permits would be required for oak tree removal, with permit fees paid into the fund so that no allocation of state revenues would be required. Permits could be denied if an oak is close to waterways or if oak removal would result in destruction of over 10% of the forest canopy that existed before January 1, 2015. The law is well-intentioned given the vast destruction of oak forests through the gold-spotted oak boring beetle and other predators, as well as drought, climate change, wildfires, and development in rural areas. But the current language raises some concerns. The measure does not appear to have an exception to the 10% rule to allow broader removal of trees in areas with heavy infestation of oak boring beetles that kill trees, even if doing so could save other trees from destruction. The measure also does not spell out the fee costs or whether those could pose a substantial financial burden to existing landowners in rural areas with large properties hard hit by infestations or trees killed by drought. The law would not apply to oak removal for creation of fire breaks, fuel removal, or right of ways. Removing a protected oak tree without a permit could result in a $25,000 fine for each violation.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health report. A 16-year-old girl has died of the flu, one of 9 influenza deaths reported locally last week, the County Health and Human Services Agency has announced. The teen died on March 16th from influenza B and had underlying medical conditions. This is the first pediatric death from the flu in San Diego since 2013. Wilma Wooten, County Public Health Officer, offers condolences to the family and friends of the young girl. Flu can be deadly, she says, even when it appears to be a mild season, so getting vaccinated and seeking care early is important in every age group. The flu vaccine is available at doctor's offices and retail pharmacies. And if you don't have medical insurance, you can go to a community health center or county public health center to get vaccinated. For a list of locations, you can visit SDIZ.org or you can call 211. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, AK Jules, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.